Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
It's time now to transition to a discussion about clinical education and guidelines. Our next speaker has close to 40 years in practice, specialising in ME/CFS, environmental and occupational toxicology and sensory sensitivities. Full disclosure, he's also one of my fabulous doctors. From Mossman Integrative Medicine in Sydney, would you please welcome the president of ACNM, Dr. Mark Donner.
I was not going to disclose that, Tracy. I do want to acknowledge Tracy, though, for the work that she's done. You will all know of her. She's inspired tens of thousands of people, including many of my patients, and has made a real difference over the last years. I also want to pay my respects to the traditional owners and First Australian guardians and elders, past, present, and emerging, and certainly acknowledge all the speakers, especially Simone, people who come out to speak with this condition. Have a bravery that is astounding to me. I'm Mark Donohue, a member of the Emerge Medical and Scientific Advisory Committee, graduate of Sydney Uni back in 1980, and I've worked in private practice 40 years, 39 years of which have been devoted to chronic fatigue syndrome, as it was known then, and more recently under different names. I've seen and cared for around 7,000 chronic fatigue syndrome patients and their families, 50,000 hours face-to-face, and more recently telehealth, which I hate. I know it's access, but boy, it's hard being in front of a computer, ruining your own health every day. 5 years back, a medical colleague asked me, what does it feel like to have wasted a career on a condition that probably doesn't even exist? And it made me reflect for a while. Then came COVID. Suddenly, it's not a condition that doesn't exist. There was suddenly a lot of people all at once and doctors were paying attention. The previous 35 years made a bit of sense for me at that time about what it's like to immerse yourself in a condition where we don't understand it in medicine and we haven't really paid enough attention to the people suffering. I want to give you a brief story, a patient of mine with over 20 years of ME/CFS. She also suffered COVID in late 2021 and massively worsened her ME/CFS, having done pretty well before that. She was then diagnosed with a relatively low-risk cancer. And her statement to me when she saw me last was, it was transformational. The disability from the low-risk cancer was virtually nothing, but suddenly she was a patient. She had a real diagnosis. Disability services were mobilised, NDIS was mobilised, wheelchairs were available rather than specialists who would say, come on, just get exercising a little bit, you'll get through it. So her appreciation of it was, if you're in the orthodox part of the healthcare system, we've got a magnificent system in the country. If you are outside that for any reason, and I think ME/CFS is one of those, if you're outside it, everything is harder. And the problem is people with ME/CFS and their families don't have the resources to do anything about that. They have to become passive and they disintegrate under the pressure of NDIS application failures, of any of the Centrelink benefits, disability support pensions. They're just too hard to do. And we as doctors have little time to help them do it, so the disability magnifies. This also disables whole families. And the point of saying that, you know, 7,000 ME/CFS, there's a lot more in the families. Families disintegrate under the pressure of one person in the family, a child at school who can't be educated, a breadwinner, the mother of children, where suddenly everybody has to give up work to look after them. The unacknowledged losses in there are distressing, disabling, and destroy families. And they destroy, you know, what we love to call productivity, which I have little time for as a doctor, abstractly saying everything is about productivity. So the sufferers become invisible. Doctors feel powerless. Many, especially the specialists, say, well, it's not a heart, it's not liver, it's not gut, it's not. And leave people without a diagnosis, with no place in the medical system, no validity. And that is a stress all by itself. One doctor many years ago wrote, I have done all the cardiology checks. There is nothing wrong with this person. I wrote to him and said, there is something wrong. And to his credit, he did say, what I meant to say was, the heart is not going to break. It kind of broke my heart to hear him say that. GPs are the lifeline of many of these people, the access to resources, and GPs don't know what to do. If ever there's a time for revised guidelines, the time is now. GPs see people, and we have this term heart sink. What's a heart sink? The person you know you're not going to be able to help, that you think, how do I get them out without distressing them any further? Medicare rewards doctors disproportionately for shorter consultations rather than the tougher, longer ones needed for this kind of illness. And that also needs to change. If I can see 20 people in an hour, I make great money. If I see one person over 2 hours, the Medicare rebate is so trivial that I can't run a business. That creates a disability for people who come to see doctors. The inappropriate management of patients with simply attributed to cognitive behavioral therapy and graded exercise has worsened the plight of vast numbers of my patients. They come from the clinics that advocate this and from Centrelink and NDIS who say you must go through this before you are a real chronic fatigue syndrome sufferer, and they are massively worsened by it. Getting rid of dangerous practices is as important as discovering new practices. So COVID-19 brought everything into clearer focus. There are now an extra 200,000 people who I find indistinguishable in this last 3 years seeing long COVID. They are chronic fatigue syndrome patients with slight variations. COVID was a bit different. Panic, trauma in the community, the lockdowns, that created an environment where disease progressed at a higher rate. But the upside of COVID, if there is one, is that a lot of people got sick and stayed sick at the same time, and it caught our attention. And I have long hopes that that is going to help. There are things we can do. We already know how to diminish the symptoms of many of the people. We've learnt that over the years. It's not always drugs. A lot of drug therapy gets all the funding for research. A lot of this is lifestyle, the ability to manage low blood pressure, manage POTS. Those type of things are simple, but when doctors close their mind, we don't even think about it. We leave people stranded with simple things that could have helped. So the summary is, to do this, we need to update our clinical guidelines. The guidelines we have from 24 years back are appalling. They haven't helped many people. They've left people stranded. We need to educate clinicians. We need to support education so that when a doctor sees someone, they do not run for their script pad to get them out of the room. They go to the guidelines to say, well, what's the next step? Who can I refer you on to? How do we build a team to get you through this? Medicare, in my view, needs to reward time and care for all practitioners involved. We think of it as doctors not getting the rewards. Everybody needs to be rewarded for the time they spend, because time with these people helps them dramatically. They need to be cared for. When they are not cared for, they suffer more. And then we need to increase their support for biomedical research. We've got to get GPs involved in this. Specialists, all the individual organs and the specialised research is great, but there is a problem with care and loving and, you know, a community that cares for those people who are most injured and sick. So long COVID and ME/CFS, to me, they're not different conditions. They are the same. They're indistinguishable except for the history of the patient. We know how they got sick on one side with long COVID. Sometimes we don't know how they got sick with ME/CFS. And a commitment to the guidelines, education, healthcare providers, expanding Medicare, getting telehealth available for the people. As Simone said, they can't get to us in the first place to start the ticker that pays for their telehealth down the line. This is a group of people who we need to rethink telehealth and be accessible as doctors and practitioners across the country. And if we can't do that, we've not cared for them. We're not listening to what the disability is. So my call is, let's use COVID experience to build a better outcome for ME, CFS and COVID. We can do better, and I think we must. Thank you.
Dr. Mark Donohoe, I found myself nodding my head so much I thought it was going to fall off. Thank you for your That's right. Thank you for your comprehensive presentation. I can't believe someone said to you a condition that probably doesn't even exist. That's appalling. But importantly, thank you for pointing out the structural problems within the system, both to do with the clinical guidelines and Medicare and education for GPs as well.
You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. And I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one.